sibling rivalry is considered the main force in the powerful tale of Sam Shepard's award-winning play, True West. But concerning the two brothers, there is an underlying mystery regarding parental guidance. Getting more intriguing, eh? Especially when Mom comes home from Alaska so she can see her homebound plants. And then there is the question, of course, of creative screenplay genius and simple neighborhood robbery. Allentown Public Theater opens February 19th at Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem, bringing the mystery, the drama, and the comedy of Shepard's True West. Directed by James Peck of Muhlenberg, this production is partnered and a collaboration with several theaters, including Touchstone. Actor Jason Roth joins us today. The second half of our program is offered by the Muhlenberg Theater and Dance Department at Muhlenberg College and their production of the Miss Firecracker Contest by Pulitzer Prize winner playwright Beth Handley. A rivalry of another sort ensues as Miss Carnell Scott, Miss Hot Tamale, vies with her cousin, a former Miss Firecracker winner, and the results is filled with suspense, conflict, and a great deal of well-crafted comedy. Henley's characters are exceptionally quirky and charming. Muhlenberg College presents the Miss Firecracker Contest, directed by Francine Roussel, opening February 18th. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat with Jason Roth of True West at Allentown Public Theater, and with Professor Francine Roussel, director of the Miss Firecracker Contest at Muhlenberg. Welcome, Jason. How are you?
Oh, very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Absolutely.
It's great to have you here. You know, it's funny. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. Sam Shepard's one of my favorite playwrights, certainly. And you were saying he's really an actor's playwright.
Oh, he's definitely an actor's playwright. The specificity and his understanding of the human condition and the psychology of men in particular, though he writes terrific women's roles, but he really understands the psyche of the male. And for a male actor, it's just a joy to work on.
And yeah. True West, really, I mean, it's a story essentially in a nutshell of two brothers and rivalry, but it's so much more. It's a lot about, we were saying earlier, where we saw ourselves coming and going as Americans. This is particularly Reagan's America, but even now, different ways of defining success or defining the American dream.
And defining the person, too. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things that's so great about Sam Shepard is that he writes in a very realistic fashion, but he writes the surreal at the same time, literally at the same exact time. There's always something else going on. And that's one of the great things to explore while you're working on him. Yeah.
And Jim Peck, the director. Jim's from Muhlenberg. Have you worked with Jim before?
I have not worked with him before. This is the first opportunity I've gotten, and I wish I had. I hope to get more opportunities. He's fantastic. He really is.
It's a great collaboration going on. I think there's folks from Pines Theater, Muhlenberg, Touchstone, Allentown Public Theater, all across the valley involved in this, isn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely a sense of collaboration that I've never experienced before. It's, you know, I think what the arts needs, and I think it's great for everybody, for people across the whole valley to be involved in this. It's really a treat. It really is.
And your background yourself, that you're from the valley.
Born and raised,
and currently a resident, but you've had a wealth of experience with film, TV, stage as well. Can you talk a little bit about that and what it's like to come back here and do something as powerful as this piece?
Sure, I can. Sure. When I was 19 and I left and I went to Rhode Island and I studied at Trinity Rep Conservatory, which is the Trinity Rep Brown Consortium Conservatory. And immediately finishing that training, I moved to New York and I was there for 12 years in Manhattan. During that time, I had spent some time in L.A. going back and forth, you know, during pilot season, which is generally in the beginning of the year for a lot of the TV stuff. But I was very lucky there. I got to work with several great companies, Lincoln Center Theater, National Shakespeare Company. I've just been very lucky. I did some daytime work on As the World Turns. I did for about a year and a half. And then a few films. Most recently, He's Just Not That Into You. That was a couple years back.
Yeah.
But I've had some really terrific opportunities. And then I fell in love, and we decided to make roots. So I came back to the Valley, and I was worried that I was going to miss acting, and I hooked up with Allentown Public Theater, and I'm so glad I did, because the experience is just as rich as anything I had in New York or anywhere else in the country.
Which is exciting. What else have you, you've done a few pieces with them.
Yeah, I originally met them when I auditioned for a stage reading of The Glass Menagerie, which Josh Neth, who's also in True West, played Tom, and I played the gentleman caller. And from there, I did Dinner with Marnie, written by a local playwright, Jen Santos, mm-hmm. very talented. Had a lot of fun with that. And then Josh directed me in a one-man show by Ronan Noon called The Atheist.
Oh,
we did
right.
that last year.
That's right. Yeah. Ronan Noon's an Irish playwright we were talking a little bit about earlier. Does wonderful work. So working with the Allentown Public Theater, getting to do this play, was this something that you and Josh had talked about? I mean, it just seems like for the two of you enjoying working together, these are just dream roles, and you get to do it with someone you enjoy working with and that you respect and you know already. Was this something you've always wanted to do?
Oh, absolutely.
You two have been talking about?
Absolutely. But it's funny, Josh and I had conversations several times where we both mentioned how we just kept waiting to get old enough to do these parts. And generally it's the other way around. It's like, oh, I'm too old to do that anymore. But no, this we were excited about getting old enough to do them. So we realized, hey, you know, it's about that time we could do this. And after many lengthy conversations about turning it into a reality, we did. And he approached Jim, because mm-hmm. Jim directed him in Spamalot and Jesus Christ Superstar mm-hmm. at Muhlenberg. And he said yes. And, guys, it's a dream team. It's just a dream team, the people I'm working with. Bill Joachim and Kathy Patterson round out the cast.
Okay.
And they're just fantastic to work with.
You're playing the character of Austin.
Austin, correct.
And he's the screenwriter, of course. And he's there sitting and watching his mom's home so he can get some things written. Well, there's other things behind all that. And then, of course, Josh is playing Lee, the other brother, who is somewhat of a scruffy kind of character. And in some productions, of course, they switch during the run of a play. I hope that you're not going to do that.
We are not going to do that. Yes, you'll be happy to hear we are not going to switch roles. It is something we entertained, and we talked with Jim about it. And we felt that it might be a disservice to the play mm-hmm. In the fact that the amount of time that we had to spend should be spent really exploring it and doing the most we can out of every layer of the onion, you know.
Yeah.
And if we had to split that time up between two different roles, we just think the story maybe wouldn't be told as creatively or specifically as it could be.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's interesting because, of course, in the journey of the play, one of the things that's interesting is the brothers themselves end up in a very different place at the end of the play, in some ways having exchanged roles in some ways,
right?
Ironically, but...
Yeah, there's a duality, and that's why I think you often see two male actors switch the parts, because there's this sense of it's kind of two sides of a coin.
Right.
That there's this, you know, two sides of a psyche, and each side of that psyche is kind of represented in Austin and Lee really being one entity.
Well, I'm certainly excited about both you and Josh on the stage at the same time, but also having been directed by James Beck, who usually is able to grasp a hold and illuminate some of the issues within the play that other directors have not been able to get to. Have you found that?
I've absolutely found it. I find it every day. As a matter of fact, several times a day. I don't think we've had a rehearsal where I haven't listened to him talk and go, oh, my gosh, like, how did I not see that? How mm-hmm. could I, you know, the guy is incredibly smart, and he's incredibly generous as a director. He's definitely an actor's director. He has an uncanny ability to let the actors find those things and sometimes think that they found them genuinely, even mm-hmm. though it's pretty much,
sure.
You
well,
know,
director,
he kind of, you know, set us down the right path, and we get to where he ultimately already knows the play needs to go. He's just very talented at that.
If there was something you could leave, I'm just thinking it's interesting for the listeners, if someone is not familiar with the piece, maybe they know Shepherd, maybe they don't, What's the heart of the piece for you about? I mean, what's this journey? What does the audience come away with having spent the evening with? What's that journey? What's the conversation?
Well, to be honest, hopefully it's something different for everybody, because I think everyone will connect with a different part of the piece, and it will speak to each person individually according to what that person has brought to the theater with them. But for me, it's really about not being able to escape who we are, trying to suppress a side of us that we don't like, a side of us we wish we didn't have, you know, something that we don't like about ourselves, and trying to suppress that and not being able to, needing to embrace it and live with it rather than try to deny it.
Yeah.
Well, you are on the boards doing this show, as was John Malkovich and Gary Sinise, Sinise and Philip Seymour Hoffman, and, of course, John C. Reilly, who has done it many times on Broadway, actually.
It's a brilliant show for
a couple different productions.
Yeah.
So you're right up there with you with them, I'm sure. We are looking forward to February 19th. It runs through March the 1st. And, of course, it is at Touchstone Theater. Everybody knows where that is.
Which is very exciting.
And it is a collaboration of several of the artistic efforts of people within the Valley.
And hosted by Touchstone.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So, Jason, we are very excited about it. I do want to mention the fact that Jason and I know each other from a few years back, but I'm very much in awe of his father, who is, of course, Lawrence Roth. Larry Roth, as we know him, who is a fine actor and director, done many productions in the Lehigh Valley, of which Jason was also in, if I recall.
Pippin, when I was 9 years old.
Oh, yes,
no.
I remember that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, he's not retired, I'm sure. He's still working at his salon, but
true.
He is hopeful of directing, I'm sure. Maybe I can call him up and urge him to do that.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I really think you should.
You've blown any element of secrecy, though, now.
Yes, Jason, thank you very much. We want everyone to please hide their toasters, because we're going to take a short break for this salient message, and we shall return with Francine Roussel and the Miss Firecracker contest here on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
This is Mac Bailey of the Limelighters inviting you to join host Steve Aronson for Folk Classics, where you'll hear the groups, pioneers, and troubadours from folk's golden age.
We left home and we left our worries there, chasing our dreams of tomorrow.
A little folk rock will be sprinkled in as well. Folk Classics, Mondays at 7 on WDIY.
This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon at WDIY 88.1 in Allentown, and this portion of our program is dedicated to Muhlenberg Theater and Dance Department's production of the Miss Firecracker Contest by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Beth Henley. Here is Professor Francine Roussel, who is going to talk with us about this really great production.
Francine is also the director of the production.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And was this your selection, Francine? I mean, what drew you to Miss Firecracker Contest?
I think it's the story of a young woman who is looking for her own identity. And in our population of students, it's exactly where they are in their lives, trying to find who they are. So I feel that the play really addresses that question, and hopefully they will respond to that. But of course, the play is set in the South in the early 80s, so it's quite a few years ago. And it has a lot to do with the culture of the South and the Southern Belle image.
Right.
And how the pressure on young women is, in particular, is very, very high and how finding your true voice is challenging. Mm. And so we see a situation of a family with three siblings, a brother and a sister, and then an adopted cousin who is younger. Her name is Carnell. That's the main character of the play. And when she came to that family, she saw her cousin Elaine, the beautiful Elaine, participate in the Miss Firecracker contest and win that contest. So she wants to do the same, but she's not the same person, and it's quite a few years later. Mm. So things have changed. Now Elaine, the sister, is married with two children, but quite unhappy. She feels that she is a victim of her beauty. And Carnell feels just the opposite, that she's not beautiful enough. And she wants to escape a past where she was quite promiscuous, and feels that she wants to erase her reputation of being hot tamale.
Well, it's interesting because just talking with Josh, or I mean, I'm sorry, Jason, mm-hmm. about True West, he was saying that it's in very many ways a play about identity and embracing the part of ourselves that we think we might rather do without, or that embarrasses us, or that is not considered beautiful or popular, but to make some peace with that. And I thought, isn't that interesting in a strange way? That almost could be said in Miss Firecracker, couldn't it?
Absolutely, mm. yes. Mm. And so the journey, it's interesting because we see the journey through her, but also through her sister, who is really starting on the other side of that journey. So we can see that in either way, beautiful or not beautiful, you have a challenge to be yourself. And then there's a brother, Delmont, who is a very interesting character, who is part of this aristocracy, and being a man has more privileges, but is not really comfortable with that either. Mm. And there is a fascinating character called Popeye, who comes from a lower class and who has very little going for her, but she's so herself that she seems to illuminate everybody else around her. And through her presence, they start to realize who they are and come to terms with who they are.
Hmm. And it's interesting because I didn't mean to cut you off, George, to jump in, but for the listener, too, to know that when you talk about the South, what's really interesting about Henley, there's this beautiful story underpinning it, this journey, but the humor and her style has this real kind of edge itself of surreal Southern Gothic humor in the meantime as you get there.
Yes, she has the influence of the great writers like Eudora Welty, mm-hmm. Carson McCullers, mm-hmm. if I pronounce it well, mm-hmm. and Flannery O'Connor. And she has the great talent to mix pathos and humor. And so it's moments extremely funny, and then the next second you see the character go through a spiral going down, and then the minute after there is another funny moment. So it's like going through a roller coaster, mm-hmm. for the characters, but also as a member of the audience, we really feel, mm-hmm. for this character, and at the same time we laugh.
Yes, the playwright Beth Henley does have a way of bringing us exceptionally quirky kind of characters, does she not? And because we've seen them before, and is it true, are any of these characters connected to some other of Henley plays like Crimes of the Heart?
No, they are not. They are really, they stand on their own, mm-hmm. and really authentic. But you are right about the quirkiness, and they are odd. And but when you get to know them, you feel, well, I know someone like that.
I know someone like that.
He actually does. Now, for the students now, it's interesting, they're all seniors, aren't they?
Yes.
And do they find this illuminating for themselves about to venture out into the world of presenting themselves?
Oh, yes.
Is that part of the rehearsal process? Do you talk about that?
Yes, and also, you know, to really have a work ethic and investigate the character in depth. Like, I have them do a biography of the character, and it's really interesting through discovering the past of those characters, what transpires in the text and in the actual rehearsal process. So they are very fine actors, all of them, and I think that they have a great chance when they come out of Muhlenberg, and that through doing this play that they're going to be really solid to affront the challenges of the profession out there in the world.
I'm always interested in who actually picks some of the titles for the plays. Have you picked this particular one?
Yes. We discuss with all the faculty and the person in charge of the season. And we looked also, we have very concrete concerns, like how many costumes we can make and have the time to make between, you know, one show or another show, or what we can build. And then we look at different sizes of plays. We always look for more parts for young women, because that's always a challenge. And you have more plays with more male parts. And we really want the director to feel in touch with the play, because you cannot spend hours and hours in the rehearsal room and not feel connected to the play. Yes, or the language, or, you know, the era. And so it has to resonate with you so that you can really translate that for the actors.
And this production is being done at Baker Theater, is that correct?
No. It's in the Black Box.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yes, because I feel, I hesitated between the two spaces, but I felt that there is such intimacy in the play that the Black Box would be a better fit.
Mm-hmm. And just to let folks know, because we could talk about this, we don't want to get away from a little info here. The play runs February 18th through the 22nd. That's Wednesday through Friday at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 2 and 8, and Sunday at 2. Tickets are $15 for adults, $8 for faculty and staff, intended for mature audiences. And you can certainly find out more about attending by contacting Muhlenberg in the box office. I just didn't want people to miss that it's only the one weekend, so they don't miss out or procrastinate. Because it must be exciting for the students, too, that threshold. You're working within the college, you're working with your professor and your comrades that you trust, your fellow students, but to have the public start to come in is really important at this point, to have that audience and that mix.
Yes, that's what makes sense. Yeah. Yes, and they're really looking forward to that moment. And the play changes the moment we have an audience.
Mm. I'm really excited about this production, because I've always loved Henley plays. And we've gotten to see some other ones in the past. And this one coming up at Muhlenberg is just going to be really expected, I'm sure, to be fine.
Has anything surprised you with the students' response in the process of this? Has it been what you expected it to be? I'm always fascinated by what kind of crops up or the what particularly younger actors, what they feel they've learned in the journey.
Yes. Well, the mentality of the South and the values of the South, and how the South is almost a different country.
Mm.
And the play really explores from the old South to the new South, and how still the values of the Southern Belle are predominant, and at the same time they belong to the past, and how to reconcile the past and the present. And the two sisters really express those two different times.
That's interesting, the older sister being more the classic Belle.
Yes, the aristocrat.
Right, and the beauty, yeah.
But how prisoner she feels in that image. And how the sister is looking up to her, and then at the end of the play realizing that it has no value for her, that there is no need to be that beautiful.
Again, it's Muhlenberg Theater and Dance Department. The Miss Firecracker contest opens on February the 18th at 8 o'clock. You can check with the box office at Muhlenberg for more information. Francine, we thank you again for joining us to bring us this wonderful play. We look forward to the next production that you're directing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.